Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Some sweet soul from Marvin Gaye to play us in. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Hope you're having a good day out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. We're going to have some fun in the next hour. Get into some entertainment news to kick things off. We'll also get into the 10 most acceptable reasons for a phone call in 2024.
A weird headline.
It's a weird one. It is a weird one. But that's why I chose it, probably. That's
of course.
It's probably why. That is coming up for you in a little bit. We'll get into that one. And I want to talk about studio apartments, Melissa. An interesting stat has come about with those. That's coming up for us in a little bit. But we kick things off with some entertainment news. And we got any Oasis fans out there? How many Oasis fans
yes,
are there?
Okay. Me. I like Oasis.
Right on. Well, nearly 15 years to the day they broke up, the Gallagher brothers have announced they are reuniting their band Oasis for a series of concerts next year in the United Kingdom and Ireland. They are talking about bringing this to the U.S. as well.
Oh, cool.
They posted, "The guns have fallen silent," Oasis posted on its website, referring to the tension, I like how they say the earlier tensions, the continuing tensions of the Gallagher brothers.
Okay.
These two, the only thing more famous than Champagne Supernova is the fighting that these two have done over the decades. A solid band. Oasis.
I have to be perfectly honest, I have not paid any attention to any of the drama around them. I just know I liked a few Oasis songs in high school.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone in that, Melissa. I don't know that it's common knowledge these two have been bickering since the womb, probably. they just probably should have never been in a band together, and at the same time, they sound really good together.
Yeah. And they were quite famous for a while.
Yeah, I think Oasis could have been even bigger, and I feel very confident that they could have had a longer shelf life if these two could have gotten along. Other band members have referenced this and talked about it, where they had things that they were working on, albums they were working on, songs they were working on. These two couldn't get along, so it never happened, some of these things. It's interesting, we'll see how it goes.
Sad.
Oasis broke up on August 28th, 2009, though the Gallagher brothers had a tumultuous relationship for decades. The relationship had been marred by physical and legal fights, verbal altercations, and frequent and sudden resignations from the band, where one would quit, then the other one would quit.
I quit. No, I quit.
Yeah. I would love to tell you that these brothers made up and there's a good vibe between them and they're doing this for the fans and all that. Money.
This is money.
Neither of them are that well off, apparently, or the way that they're kind of playing this up and everything. So my problem with any artist is when you don't respect your fan base. There's a line in the sand on that. Chaperone has been talking about this and everything, where she is a person who wanted more than anything to be a musician and make a career at that. And she's able to do that now. What she didn't sign up for was fans like pulling on her and like she's just walking down the street and they grab her and pull her into the camera and some of these things that are going on. I think everything is a case by case basis. Everything in life is a case by case basis. Very few things can use an umbrella to cover everything. There's a difference of John Waters, the famous director and author, talking about, you know, I'm having dinner at a family's restaurant. Somebody comes in and wants to talk to me, and I tell him, no, come on over, sit right down. You bought my book. You paid for this meal practically. His fan base is going to be quite a bit different than a Chaperone's fan base. And understanding that going forward is something we all need to do when it comes to these celebrities, when it comes to these people.
Mm-hmm. Well, just being respectful of them as people, I think, is vital.
I don't think that it's asking a lot.
Because they're out and about in public doesn't mean that you get to take advantage of their time. A dear friend of mine just was in New York recently and went to a Broadway show. And when they were leaving, She saw Pink had been at the show with her child, and actually her kid held the door open for my friend's kid. Oh. And then they watched them get into a car, surrounded by, you know, a bunch of guys in black suits and stuff. But nobody said anything. Nobody made a big deal out of it. It was just Pink and her kid going to a show.
Yeah.
And that's cool. She was like, I was just super impressed by that, because that's how it should be. You know, they should be able to be out and live their lives just like everybody else.
Pink is an amazing artist, and her kid is awesome. Her kid seems awesome, and hearing a story like that just solidifies it more for me. I've mentioned before, most of the times that I've been around celebrities, it's been on a set or been in a working situation, and in those situations, you're really trained as an actor. Hey, treat them like treat them like a peer. You know, you don't get, oh my God, it's so-and-so. You don't freak, you know, that kind of thing and stuff.
Yeah, you go in a professional environment. You want to stay professional.
Exactly. There's been one or two times that I have run into a celebrity outside of that. And I've mentioned many times about running into John Cusack at Steppenwolf and how much that meant to me as a young person. I'm 20 and that happened. The thing I don't talk about nearly enough is how badly I felt doing that afterwards. Now, he was cool and it was just the two of us in an elevator. You know, it makes sense that, he could have been a complete no stranger or something like that. And still would have been one of those situations where maybe you have an uncomfortable conversation or something.
two people in an elevator. Yeah, it can be a little weird.
But I did feel, even to this day, did feel like I put him in an awkward spot. He was cool. he couldn't have handled it better. And actually gave me note if I'm ever in a situation like that and ever that kind of famous, how I would handle it. But I still, to this day, feel kind of like I put him in an awkward spot there. I don't see the drive, the need to do this. When you see somebody famous, I have to take a picture with them. I have to sign an autograph with them. That stuff is so fleeting to me. I understand there's a lot of people that want to take that autograph and put it on eBay. To me, I could have easily asked John Cusack for an autograph. I wanted a memory with him. Mm-hmm. I wanted a moment with him. To me, that stands out more. So if you are somebody that sees a celebrity and you want that moment with them, I would think a subtle approach or read the room kind of thing, like they're with their family, maybe leave them alone. there's very few scenarios where I would feel like you got the green light to go in and go ahead and say something. I don't know. Now, I do think that if you see a celebrity and you want to tell your friends about it, that's fine. You want to talk about it, that's one thing. Taking pictures, putting it on social media, having to put your face right crammed against theirs so you can get a selfie with them, that stuff is way above my pay grade. I don't understand that.
Well, and it, like you said, read the room. If it's an event where they're there as a performer, well, of course, that's what they're there for. And they expect it. If you run into them at a Broadway show that they're just attending as a person, or at a restaurant that they're just trying to have a meal, I mean, be respectful.
Yeah. Is there anything Thor can't do? Chris Hemsworth is amazing. After this weekend, you can add drummer to his resume. Chris surprised an arena of almost 70,000 fans of Ed Sheeran's show in Romania on Saturday. He played drums on Thinking Out Loud. Just Chris Hemsworth just showed up and played drums with Ed Sheeran. Thor is just playing drums with the guy. His performance was filmed for an upcoming episode of his National Geographic series, Limitless. Ed says Chris emailed him last December telling him about his documentary on cognitive health and the benefits of learning an instrument. And quote, I got Chris to learn drums for my stadium show, Thor for the encore.
Oh, nice.
It's a really cool video if you get a chance to see it. The two seem like they're having a lot of fun. Ed Sheeran is a pretty fun individual, it seems like. And you know, for those that have not heard, Chris Hemsworth has, you know, been diagnosed with some health issues and has talked a lot about this openly since the diagnosis, and talked about how he really wants to do act to his dying day, but he does want the work that he does. He wants to be meaningful, and he certainly wants to continue to work to leave a good chunk for his kids and his family. I really admire the way he has been so honest about this. The pictures that are going around are really cool. They also show you how little Ed Sheeran is. nothing against Ed Sheeran. I mean, he's not a very big guy, and he never has. He was on SNL making fun of that once. He was on. He did a guest spot on Game of Thrones where he was just like an extra, and joked about that too. Like, I don't know why they cast me other than I'm Ed Sheeran because I don't look like any of these people. Like, he's very self-deprecating. He's a very funny guy, but next to Thor, I don't know if I would have taken that picture if I was him. That's rough. That's rough. But that's very cool on both of those guys. I think that's pretty cool. And not to get political, but this one kind of brings us there. On Friday night, Donald Trump held a rally to introduce his new buddy, Robert F. Kennedy. And he used the Foo Fighters song, My Hero. The band has not been happy about this, and they have told him endlessly to stop doing this. He is not alone. Many bands like Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Allman Brothers, a lot of different bands like this have told Trump this over many years. His campaign continues to do these kind of things. Well, the band was not only not happy about that, but the rep said that they weren't asked for permission, and if they were, they would have denied it. The Trump campaign says that they can use it because they license it through BMI's Songview service, which again brings us back to musicians not owning their own music and the ridiculousness of that. But hold up, because however you feel about this scenario and this story, you may be benefited by it. No matter which party you're, you know, rooting for or voting for in November and everything, maybe there's a win here for both sides, because they might not want to play that song anymore because it'll benefit Kamala Harris. The Foo Fighters say that any royalties they get from Trump using My Hero, 100% of it will be donated to the Harris-Waltz campaign.
Now that's some legal fight, kickback there.
That's a way to play that. That's a smart way to play that, man. Like that, I don't care who you're rooting for, voting for, any of that. That's well
played.
You
want to use our music? Sure, but it's going to benefit the other party.
I swear on everything I am, if this story was reverse, I'd be saying the same.
A great story.
That's very smart. That's just a smart move right there. I feel like every one of these other bands that have been mad at a politician for playing their songs are immediately like, why didn't I think of
why
that?
Why didn't I do that?
Oh, that's a good idea. Like, it's very well played. Very well played by them. I did want to talk about a little local theater real quick before we go to break. Our good friends over at CWAC, Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater, have their wonderful Matilda the Musical coming up in September. October. That is coming up in October. But before that, you've got August Final Fridays.
Aha.
That is coming.
That's this week.
Yeah, it's coming up this Friday, 7 o'clock. Games start at 7:30. It is going to be taking place at 2952 Minnesota Avenue in beautiful Stevens Point. You can check out more about this improv comedy event at their website, cwac.org. And if that didn't sell it for you, their host, Carrie Dredger.
Oh, Carrie Dreger, cool.
Dreger. I always do Carrie. I'm so sorry, Carrie.
It's okay.
Carrie's amazing. Carrie's awesome. She's going to be a great host for this.
Oh, yeah. She's fun. Her daughter is playing one of the Matildas.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah. Very cool. I didn't know that. Very cool.
Yeah,
congratulations
to her. They double cast the role of Matilda and Tilly.
Nice.
Playing one of the roles.
Congratulations to the whole cast of Matilda. We're going to be having them on with us. We'll be talking with them during Director's Cut. Certainly looking forward to that. We'll probably have Amber on with us because Amber's our go-to. We appreciate her for that. But we really do appreciate our friends at CWAC. You can help them keep local theater alive in the Stevens Point area just by checking out August Final Fridays or Matilda the Musical, or maybe when Clue comes out in a little bit. There's going to be some great shows all season long. Find out more at cwac.org, and keep in mind, good friends of theirs and ours, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater is kicking off their 50th season.
That's right. 50th season. It's going to be a good one. Drinking Habits is already well underway into rehearsals, and the rest of the shows are starting to get going.
Less than a month from now, September 26th, Drinking Habits kicks off the not only fall production, but the 50th season for WRCT. That is going to be so much fun. They've got some really cool things lined up this year. Not only their main stage shows, but the Silver Foxes will be up to some cool things. They have some wonderful stuff in their studio theater that they're going to be working on. Some of that might even affect some of us around here. That's going to be a cool show. So there's all kinds of great things going on. Get your season tickets right now at WRCtheater.org, WRCtheater.org. We'll take a time out, check in with our partners, come back, and we're talking about the reasons to make phone calls in 2024. Weird sentence right there. Well, listen, James, taking you through your morning here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Thanks for joining us. Melissa and James here with you, hanging out, getting you ready for our news break. I want to dive into this one with you, Melissa, about phone calls in 2024. Young people do not like making phone calls with their phones that they cannot seem to let go of. This is an interesting situation. Yeah, a little interesting. A recent poll found 23% of people under 35 never answer the phone. Period. Like, never answer the phone. So
I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how honest they were with that answering that survey, to be honest with you. So if you're calling them, you better have a good reason. 2,000 people were asked to name the most acceptable reasons for calling someone instead of texting in 2024. So pretty good number. You know, anytime we get into the thousands with some of these surveys, I feel like you get a pretty good idea. It's certainly not verbatim and certainly not something I would necessarily write home about, but, you know, it's that.
That's a good chunk of people.
But there's another idiom I want to look out. Write home about. Where did that come from? That's a
probably
good
wars.
Idiom. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I got that's a good guess. I think you're right about that. I'm going to look that one up. So here they are the top reasons for calling somebody instead of texting in 2024. And we want audience participation. Call in.
But you can also text.
You can.
Using the Civic Media app.
Couldn't help myself. For a general chat. So you just want to catch up. And you know you're not working, but you're there. But if they're under 35, you still might want to text first.
Yes. Honestly, actually, that is how I will. If I want to chat with somebody, I will text them. Can you chat?
Yes, I do that too. I really love catching up with people. I really enjoy it. I'm not a big phone talker, but if I get a chance and it's been somebody, my buddy Will, just the other day, him and I, we hadn't talked in probably a month or two and spent an hour on the phone just catching up before we even got to work-related stuff and everything. I find that stuff fun to do, especially with people that you don't get a chance to talk to very often. Yeah. But you do got to know your audience. You do got to know, is this person that can do that or not?
Well, and even when you do that on the phone, like if I call a family member and I'd be like, is now a good time for you to talk? Because you just never know what's going on in their lives. And, you know, they might be in the middle of making dinner.
And, you know, an email is one thing. But if somebody, when somebody texts me, hey, what have you been up to? Like, oh, my God, man. Like, I have a billion things.
You want that
things.
Back in a text?
You want me to text that? Like,
I've been busy.
I actually, yeah. Right. And then they get mad at you when you say something like that. Well, then if you really care, if you really want to know, let's have a person-to-person conversation.
Me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to sit here and text you War and Peace. Because that's what my life is. A million things happen a day. I almost find it at this point in the game, I'm not saying this 100%, but in certain situations, I almost find it rude of the other person. Like, you understand the way this, you know, all works, how texting and calling and communicating with people goes. If you really, really care, then reach out. You know, a text, anybody can do that. And it just usually sometimes just makes the other person feel better.
And also, I just also want to put out there, if you do text somebody and ask them a question and they reply to your question, don't just then say nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had a family member do that to me recently, and it just kind of leaves me feeling like, okay, well, did you get my text? Mm-hmm. Did you, like, now I'm in a weird place. Like, do I text them again and say, did you get that? Or is that being too, it's so, communication has become weird, James.
It really has. This is one of those things I've had to learn the hard way, because I wasn't always good about this. Oftentimes I felt weird, like, okay, we got I text somebody asking them the question, they answer the question, or we're making plans or something like that, and I feel like and if we were talking to each other in person, the conversation would have ended and we move on. But it's a text.
And you'd have had a salutation of like, okay, bye.
Yeah, something like that. So I've never really known how to handle that texting-wise. So that's where I go to emojis a lot and sometimes.
Right. Because you can, like, do an emoji in response to a message.
Yes.
Even just a thumbs up. Like, yep, I got it.
Yes. And
honestly, that's all I wanted.
Well, and that's, you're not alone in that. You are not alone in that. There's a lot of people in my, you know, life work-wise, especially, that feel that way because they need confirmation. Hey, did you get this message?
Yep.
And I don't think that's asking a lot. But it is one of those things I understand if people take some learning to get down. We didn't get a playbook for any of this. Nobody gave us a playbook for how to handle social media or texting or any of this stuff. Especially
so
people like us.
So if you're in your 50s or 60s, you get a pass because you didn't get the playbook, James? Ooh. I don't think so.
I think we need to give each other grace in life.
I
think that this is one of those, like, I don't expect somebody that is our age to understand everything there is about, texting and all that. Now, I will say, I think you have a very valid point in, hey, this is just common courtesy. You didn't need a playbook for texting to be courteous. Mm-hmm. That part I completely get, and I feel my mother in the back of my head yelling at me for not learning it sooner. So, continuing with this list, to inform someone of a passing, of a death. Still the type of news that you do not want to read in a text.
Yeah, you should call about that.
To show support when someone's going through a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about things get lost in communication when there is no emotion behind a text. Both of those are things that can get really lost up in conversation, really lost in just, hey, you know, we oftentimes don't know what to say in those situations. So it is so much better to be talking to a person because even if you don't feel like you're saying the right thing, the person hears the emotion in your voice that you're trying, that you're working, you're not phoning this in. Mm-hmm. It can feel like that through text.
Which is a funny phrase to talk about having a phone conversation.
I didn't mean to do that. I'm the worst. I am just
you
bad.
You are the worst.
I am the worst. To wish them a happy birthday. To wish them a happy birthday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one. I am a sucker for, as much as me and my birthday may not get along, I am a sucker for calling people on their birthday and leaving those annoying messages. Ask my sister about this. As long as her and I have had cell phones, I've been doing this to her.
Mm-hmm.
When you're running late, like you're driving and can't text, or you want to make sure that they don't miss your text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's good to call, definitely, if you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, letting people know when you're going to be late is common courtesy again.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of this is coming back to that. Mm-hmm. To book things, like a hotel or restaurant reservation.
I don't know about that one, James.
Yeah, yeah,
because
I don't know.
A lot of places now prefer you to do it online, and they've made it really easy to do online.
And, I think it's worth mentioning, you and I both worked in the hotel industry, and even back when we worked in it, we were oftentimes shorthanded. Mm-hmm. They almost all hotels are shorthanded nowadays. If this frees up somebody at the front desk to be able to take care of people in front of them, so that, you know, you from your state can make our online reservation, I couldn't agree with you more. Melissa, and not just because I worked in the industry, but recently, even
having experience.
Yeah. I had never done that before until recently, where I just made the reservation online, didn't even talk to anybody, and it couldn't have gone smoother.
Yeah.
Actually,
it's real slick now.
Yeah, it was actually really nice. It was really cool. That one I get.
Mm-hmm. Even restaurant reservations, you can do it through I think it's often Toast is the app that I've seen a lot for restaurants. But you can pick your time within like 15 minutes. of what's available and book it right there. I think that's not something you should have to make a phone call for.
Yeah, I think you can save the phone call on that one. This one goes two different directions in my book. To announce positive news like we're pregnant. You know, I think that that's a phone call. I think that that's worth a phone call.
A certain number of people.
Know your audience.
You don't have to call every single second cousin.
Yes. we were friends in high school. We haven't talked that much since then. Probably can just text. probably could just do something
or
like that.
Or even at that point, put it on social media if that is your jam.
They don't have it on the list here, but I got to say, that's also not something to tell somebody in text. Hey, we're pregnant. That's not something. You don't want to get that news in text. You don't want I feel like, at least. It has never happened to me, but I feel like that's news you probably want to say in person.
Probably, but if they don't answer their phone, James, what's your other option?
Oh, that's a good point. It's a good point. calling in sick to work. Yeah.
Mm.
Ooh, yeah, I would think so. I never even thought about that. I mean, of course it makes sense that people can do that. I just never thought about them doing that. Yeah.
And again, I think this depends on your industry and the way you communicate with your superior. You know, I mean, if they prefer that you communicate with them through text, then that's what you should do.
Yeah, if all you
there should be a procedure set up for calling in sick.
Yes, yeah. But if all you ever have communicated with your manager or boss or anything like that is through text, yeah, I would say keep that, you know, keep doing that, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
When you're lost or trying to find someone, like you're out somewhere trying to meet up or something like that. Yeah, that's why phones were invented. This is one of the reasons why phones were invented. Yes. Yes. Call them. The idea of sitting there waiting
for a text to go through or come back.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Where are you? I'm over here. Where's here? I mean, there's just sometimes where you just need to have a phone conversation.
Yeah. That's one of them. I'm by the big thingy. Like, you're texting, that is not going to help you. But if you're talking to them, you can talk it out.
Like?
Yeah, what does it look like, man? Give me something else other than big thingy. And finally, to share a negative health update. Very similar to the positive news. Negative news, I think, is also very similar.
Yeah. It's kind of like now, you know, how in the healthcare system now we have my chart or my care or my these online things that are attached to our health records. And oftentimes when you go and get some testing done, you get the results of those tests before you can have that conversation with your doctor.
Yeah.
And that's a little disturbing. And sometimes it takes them a while to get a hold of you. And I can tell you that I have personally experienced this. I'm fine. Nothing was wrong. But the test results were troubling because I didn't understand them.
Yeah.
And to see something like that and then have to, like, just sit in worry for 2 weeks waiting for your doctor to reach out and say, oh, no, everything's fine.
Gosh, I feel for you on this. Oh,
yeah.
Man, so that's rough.
I think it's something that's happening a little more often just because of the wanting instant results and yes, we should have access to our healthcare records, absolutely, but then we should also be able to have those conversations with our healthcare providers sooner. Well, so that we don't have to sit in worry.
And I understand how, especially in rural areas, how overworked the healthcare system can be.
Mm-hmm.
But this
especially with the recent loss of hospitals in Wisconsin.
Right. And I say this with some of that in mind and everything. This is the job. Like, make the phone call. Like, there is certain information that there is no reason in the world it should be, brought over that way.
Right. And the same thing with sending a text to maybe like your mom with, so mom, I'm sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's very open-ended.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what kind of sick? What? How bad is it? Are you in the hospital? Are you on the way? Do I need to call 911? Like. Yeah.
The only reason that I would ever do that is if I just never want to talk to my mother again. if that's just what I'm trying to do.
James,
there.
You're
that's
cut out of the will.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm already on the fence. They already got me on the fence. The dog is higher than me on the will. The poll found the average adult in 2024 only spends 5.5 minutes a day on the phone now. But if you're young, it's more likely than even less than that. So pretty interesting.
5.5 minutes a day. Unless you're in like a job where you have to be on the phone a lot, I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. It's an interesting list. Feel free to, again, call in and let us know what you think of the list.
Yeah, 715-424-2600.
We'd love to hear from you, everybody. As we're going,
and if you don't want to call, you can text the Civic Media app.
Yeah, absolutely. Nicely done, Mel. As we're going to our news break and our sports break, not sure if Mike will have this or not because it just broke over the wire less than a minute ago. The Green Bay Packers have cut Anders Carlson for their kicker. This was a big question mark going into the cut day, Melissa, for the NFL, what the Packers were going to do at the kicker position, if they were going to keep this young athlete that they drafted just last year or if they were going to cut him. The news is that, yes, the Green Bay Packers have cut their kicker. So I'm going to be on the lookout for a kicker. All you kickers out there, Green Bay might be calling. We will get to our state, local, and sports news. We'll come back and have some more fun. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great day out there. It's time for idioms, idioms, where did you come from? Idiom, idiom, where are you from? The idiom, nothing to write home about. We need theme music. I'm sorry, everybody. Yeah, I apologize.
I was just saying, did you just pull that out of thin air?
I just was thinking of it just at the top. If you can't tell, it was just off
not
the top. Idiom, the idiom, nothing to write home about, is believed to have originated in the British seaside town of Blackpool before the construction of its famous pier and promenade. At the time, visitors to the town would have had to write had little to write about in their letters home due to the lack of entertainment. The phrase may have also originated with troops stationed far from home in the late 1800s and become more widely used during World War I. The first written record of the phrase in North America was in 1905, where it was used to describe a baseball team's mediocre performance.
Oh. Okay. So sports. There you go, James.
Yeah, it was written about sports the first time, but the history of it actually stems from you get at least 75% right on that, Melissa, as far as the states-wise go. And just an interesting history behind that one. Mm-hmm. I like that one. I wanted to talk about this with you for a little bit, actually, Melissa, because you and I are apartment people, kind of, and I come from the apartment life. I have only lived in a house once or twice in my life. My parents own their home now, but that wasn't how I grew up or how I was raised. And to be honest, you know, looking for places myself, I tend to look for studio apartments and a lot of that. So America's smallest apartments are now getting even smaller. The average studio built in 2014 was about 499 square feet, and now it is about 445. Ooh. That's about 11% less space than new apartments that were built a decade ago. Meanwhile, rent is skyrocketing.
Yeah.
Developers are making them smaller to fit more units into apartment buildings so they can make more money, but they claim it is also what some people want. The Wall Street Journal talked to a manager of a property in Seattle that has studios under 300 square feet, and he says some people just want efficient space that won't break the bank, quote, a place to eat and sleep.
Yeah. Well, where do you put your stuff?
Yeah. The size of new one-bedroom apartments is also down a tad since 2014, but two- and three-bedroom units are slightly bigger than they were a decade ago. A study last month found Seattle has the smallest new apartments in the U.S. at 661 square feet on average. Gainesville, Florida offers the most space. The average new apartment there clocks in at around 1,173 square feet. This is a lot to do with, you know, the famous phrase in real estate, location, location, location.
Yes, true.
There's a lot of context that needs to go into that part of this. But the idea that we are getting, we are being asked to pay more and getting less for that is something that we hear a lot about in today's day and age when it comes to everything from going to the supermarket to apartments.
Yes.
And it's... This is something that I feel like people are not going to like the true answer to. But you know, whether you're listening or reading about from Warren Buffett or any of our top economists in the world, not just here in America but in the world, they will all tell you this is the natural order of things. There is no bad guy on this one. You can't just point the finger at the pandemic. You can't just point the finger at a political party. This is the way economies work. Things were always going to go up. Now, was that sped up from the pandemic? Certainly. There is some of that. Is there an issue when we have states like ours that will not raise their minimum wage and leave it onto mom and pop businesses and put it on their shoulders because they won't make a move? Like, yeah, there's factors here.
Yeah, and are there some big corporations who are taking advantage of some of this? Yes. Absolutely.
100%. 100%. There's no one trick to this. There's no one.
It's very complicated.
You can't just point at the boogeyman and say it's the boogeyman's fault. Like, there is no boogeyman. There is no villain in this situation. This is life. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear tons of people right now trying to point to the economy, trying to point to the wonderful word of inflation. Look up what that word means. Look up how they're using that word inefficiently. They're not being smart with that word, and they're not giving you the true story. They give you a little bit of the story. They give you their angle of the story, but they're not giving you the complete story.
Right, and then also fact check them because they're saying that inflation is up. Well, it's not.
No,
it's actually gone down.
Yes,
so be careful of the thing words that are being thrown around as facts that are not facts.
And I'll tell you, most of the economists, most of the people out there that are talking about this have nobody in their pocket. They have no political affiliations or anything like that. Their affiliation is to numbers. Right. That's where their party is. They believe in numbers, and that's something that I think we can all get behind. You can't argue with numbers. 2 + 2 = 4. You can go ahead and double down on that one and try to argue it, but it's still going to be true. I hope that we're keeping an eye on things like this because more and more people, we need more and more homes. We need more and more people housed.
We do.
But we need them housed right. As somebody who comes from, again, not only an apartment lifestyle, but I didn't have a good landlord, including my own grandfather. I didn't have a good landlord until I was in my late 20s. Mm-hmm. This is something we need to pay attention to. There are good landlords out there. I think it's very low-hanging fruit to say, oh, landlords are bad or something. No, there are good landlords out there. They just get lost in the shuffle when there's so many bad ones out there.
Well, and that's a bigger issue of absentee landlords where people buy up properties in other states or far away or from other countries, and then they own those, and they don't take care of them. So that's a different issue. But I do think that the trend to smaller houses, look at the tiny home boom that's happening.
Yeah.
You know, where people want to own their own house, but they can't afford a $300,000 home on even an acre or a half acre of land. So, you know, a tiny house on a half acre of land, a lot cheaper. And then a lot more yard space.
I got to say, a lot of those tiny houses, they sold me. I like them. I mean, I look at them and I'm like, I could fit a dog. Me and a dog could fit in there. That seems like good to me. That's, you know.
And I have been trying for years to downsize. It's just ask Laura. I just finally got all of my stuff out of her house. Like, just. We're talking this month. And now that I have it back in my possessions, I will have to try to get rid of some of it. And it's not even my stuff, James. That's the thing that makes me crazy. It's my mom's stuff that I inherited. And I have to figure out what to do with it. So, you know, the thought of being in a very small space with very little stuff is kind of appealing.
It does sound nice, especially the way you describe it. It does sound nice. We'll get to our final time out of the show, take care of our partners, come back, get into some good stories of the day, tell you about our schedule, and have some more fun. The Morning Show, WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James taking it to the top of the hour. We're going to have some fun doing it, too. Mm-hmm. It's been over 20 years, so by now everyone knows that the TSA limits liquids in the carry-on luggage to 3 ounces. Mm-hmm. But that could be changing.
Yeah.
Airports have started upgrading the new scanners, which can allow up for as many liquids as you want in containers up to 2 liters, which is nearly 68 ounces.
Oh, my goodness.
They use something called computed tomography. That can determine liquids differently. So that's pretty darn cool, actually.
Yeah.
I'd like to learn more about that. Right? But there is a major, major, major catch. The rollout for the new scanners is incredibly slow, and the TSA expects that it will take over. It will take until the year 2040 to upgrade all 2,000 screening lanes in about 430 airports across the U.S.
Wow.
So that plan, that trip that you're planning 16 years from now, you're going to be able to bring some more liquids.
You can bring some bigger liquid containers with you.
So, okay. Yay. I don't know.
Good news for our kids or our grandkids.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes. There you go. Yeah. There's the spin. Boy, I felt the rain from over there in Port, over there before I felt it here, Melissa. That was really interesting, audio-wise. That was kind of cool. I heard it on your end, and then I see it coming down like a minute later over here. That was kind of interesting. Be safe
out there.
It's like
watching it come across the water at you.
Yeah, yeah. It was really, yes!
Have you ever experienced that?
Yes!
That's a cool thing to experience.
What a cool feeling. I felt that. I had that happen when I was in California over the ocean. It was such a cool experience.
Yeah, I had to open the window because it's a little stuffy in here. Mm. And it's really nice outside right now.
And rain air? Rain air feels so good.
Yeah.
Bringing you a great midday magazine feels real good. And we're going to do that today from 4 to 5. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 for Midday Magazine. Mm-hmm. And today in part 1 of 4 o'clock, we're going to welcome in our good friend Lacey Ayling, Events and Engagement Director. Promise is going to be with her, our Marketing Communications Director with our Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Nice.
Looking forward to catching up with them. And in part 2, we'll talk with Nia from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center.
Good.
We're going to be discussing Hmong programming and outreach with Nia a little bit later at 4:30 today. Looking forward to her joining us.
Good.
You have probably heard during Melissa's news break, in case you haven't, and it feels cruel to bring this up right now, but Wood County swimming beaches are going to be open now until September 3rd.
That's right. They'll be open through Labor Day weekend.
So don't feel bad if you're not able to get there today. You got time. You got time.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Although you might want to go later this afternoon when it's not raining and it's steamy hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep in mind that when it does clear up out there, our Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo at 1911 Gainer Avenue, just a couple of blocks from us, is wide open and free to the public.
Mm-hmm. For just one more week, right?
Yeah, just got another week of this one, everybody. Get on over there, enjoy some of our animals, say hi to the great people working over there. Greatly appreciate them and all the great work that they do over there. Check out the Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo, 1911 Gainer Avenue. You got now until Labor Day to get on over there and hang, have some fun. And enjoy and say hi to the animals for us.
Say hi to the animals.
Keep in mind tomorrow from 7:30 to 9:30 is American Heroes Cafe of Central Wisconsin.
It's a great time.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a great breakfast over there at Crossview Church, and it's just a nice atmosphere to be able to sit and have a conversation, relax. It's fun.
Spread the word, because this is for all veterans, military, police, and firefighters. They are all welcome, and some may not know about this great event. So be sure to spread the word and let them know about this, and meet them over there from 7:30 to 9:30 every second and fourth Wednesday of the month for American Heroes Cafe. It's a great time. A big shout out to Crossview Church and all the great people that work so hard on that event.
Yes, indeed.
Keep in mind as well that our good, I mentioned a chamber earlier, where the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce is hosting Coffee with the Chamber coming up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
8:30 to 9:30 at the City Hall Council Chambers. Or you can do this virtually.
That's right. You can join virtually if you can't make it in person. They have Mayor Matt Zacher, and then the Kyle Kearns will also be there. They've got a lot of good things to talk about coming up in the city.
I get spoiled in this job doing midday. I get to talk with both of these gentlemen a lot, and both incredibly good talkers. Mm-hmm. And I cannot tell you enough, on air, off air, same people. And their passion for this community is
genuinely
palpable.
Genuinely care about the community.
They are really looking forward to hearing from you. They really want to hear from you. They want you to reach out to them and everything. Be adults, of course, and make sure to treat each other with respect. But these are the guys that you want to talk to in this town and hear from in this town. It's a great opportunity. No middleman. You can talk straight up to these individuals. And what a great idea from the chamber of being able to do this virtually if need be.
Right. because not everybody can get there in person.
Yeah. So again, Coffee with the Chamber with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce going on tomorrow from 8:30 to 9:30 at the City Hall Council Chambers, or you can enter this virtually. Go to their website, WisconsinRapidsChamber.com, to find out more. WisconsinRapidsChamber.com. I'm going to get into some world good stories here, Melissa, for everybody. A 102-year-old woman named Manette Bellelli has just become British oldest skydiver.
Whoa.
And raised more than $13,000 for the charity in the process.
Oh, cool.
2 years ago, she marked her 100th birthday by racing a Ferrari on the official Grand Prix track.
I
love this lady. Yeah. Her advice to people is always look for something new and don't forget to party.
Come nice. On. I love it.
Is there anything better we can wrap up our show with than that advice? Both great pieces of advice. Look for new things. Yeah, you know, don't forget to have some fun while you're at it, too.
Yeah.
America's National Parks just got their biggest single donation ever. A $100 million donation from the Lilly Endowment, one of the world's largest private charity foundations.
Wow.
The National Park Foundation plans to announce where the first round of money is going later this year, but called the donation transformative. And all the money will be used to address the needs of America's 400-plus national parks.
Wow. That's awesome.
Now, that is a cool story, too. That is pretty cool. It's been cool hanging out with you, Melissa. Great show.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there, everybody. We stay dry and keep cool. We will talk to you tomorrow with more Morning Show right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.